have lost their minds. That's what I think. Okay, Sam Rogofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right. This, I'll tell you, this thing in Alabama is huge because the entire makeup of the Senate hangs in the balance, right? We already have a razor-thin majority in Congress. By we, I mean, well, loosely put, Republicans. I won't say conservatives, but certainly Republicans. And so you're not supposed to lose Alabama. You know, when the president picks politicians, sitting elected members of Congress to fill vacancies in the administration, right? New administration, or even one that has been around for a while and they have a post that is opened up. Let's say the post of attorney general. One of the chief considerations is when the transition committee is working on finding the right candidate is this candidate from a state or from a district, okay, if it's a House member, where our party or whatever party the president is confident they can re-elect another Republican or another Democrat. So you really only pick people from safe districts. This is why Sessions was tapped over perhaps another, more maybe a different, more qualified Republican in a different place where it wasn't as clear. One of the big draws of putting Sessions in as attorney general from the beginning was because he came from Alabama, and this race in Alabama should have been an absolute no-brainer. A Republican should be able to sleepwalk and win an election in Alabama. Right now, sleepwalking actually sounds like a pretty good defense for Roy Moore. He's got to come up with something. Because here's the deal. This thing, I'm going to say it again. If you've got an accusation and you've got an admission, for me, it's a closed book. If you have an accusation and then you've got a denial, now I've got to examine it. And ultimately, I believe in due process. I believe that, you know, we have a system to deal with this kind of stuff. But our system here is not this. Most of these allegations are time barred. I mean, they're statutes of limitations. You can't go back. This, even if a crime has occurred, you can't go back and have a trial. And even if that wasn't the case, that trial is going to happen after the election. So really, we're not talking about a trial here. What we have is we've got an election. It's up to these voters in Alabama to decide who they believe. Now, I don't think it's binary. I don't think it's one or the other. I don't think it's black or white. What do I mean by this? So I'm listening to some of these ladies. I believe some of them more than I do others. That's really where I'm at. Gloria Allred's client, I don't believe her. I don't one bit. And actually, there was an interesting press conference. I'll play you the clip here in just a second. That Roy Moore's campaign is fighting back on some of her allegations. And I think they raised some compelling issues. I just think the thing stinks to high heaven. I mentioned on Monday, I just don't see that a conservative, Trump-loving Republican in Alabama goes up to New York to hire Gloria Allred to represent her in this deal. It's attention-seeking, it's fame-seeking, it just stinks. The whole thing stinks of a Democratic Party setup and of a desperate person wanting their 10 seconds of fame. But each of these allegations is, in my view, is independent. I also recognize that you've got a guy who's controversial. This guy's kind of a kook. Let's put aside these ladies that have come forward and claimed horrible things. Put that aside. He's a kook. This is a guy that pulls out a gun at a rally. The number one problem with him from the beginning with me is that he cloaks himself in religion. I'm always suspicious of politicians in particular, but any person, the minute they start talking about their religion too much, how creepy is that? Do you know what I'm talking about? So I know people who are deeply religious, faithful, God-fearing people, good people. They don't go around talking about their religion all the time. They don't They don't fight to put, you know, I know judges and attorneys who are very religious. They don't do the stuff that Roy Moore does. If you don't know what I'm talking, he fought to put the Ten Commandments up in his courthouse and became a big national battle. It's just weird, demonstrative kind of stuff that is not particularly helpful. So this guy is kooky, no doubt. On the other hand, what I do like it is he's kind of kooky enough to become a little bit of a wrecking ball and a thorn in Mitch McConnell's side. You got to understand, that's my horse in this fight is I hate McConnell. I think that these swamp Republicans are honestly worse than some Democrats. And any person that goes to Washington and is an irritant to Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and their fellow, you know, brood is great to me, is happiness and music to Sam Nation ears. But that said, we can't send a sex pervert up there. That's just not acceptable. So is he or is he not? And I don't know. And that worries me because, of course, you want to be sure that you're not sending a sex pervert up. But I want to talk about this. I worry that we're in this hysteric place where you make an accusation and all of a sudden there's this expectation that you can immediately mount a defense to it, that you can immediately put together, and by immediately, I mean within a week, put together compelling evidence of your innocence. There is a reason why you get time. I'm a lawyer. There's a reason why you get time to prepare for a trial. If you get charged with murder, you know, the district attorney can't just say, all right, Fred, they charged you with murder. Well, geez, you know, here's what we're going to do. Report back to the court on Monday and get ready. We're starting a trial. It's absurd. It'd literally be a violation of your constitutional rights. You need and are absolutely entitled to prepare for your defense. But in the world of politics, it doesn't work this way. And what bothers me about the situation from the beginning is that it all has come out, you know, what, weeks before an election with a guy that's been in public life for 40 years. I don't know. It's weird. Now, does that mean it's not true? Of course. Could this be a byproduct of, I don't know, all the other stuff that's going on, the Weinstein allegations, the sort of dam that is broken through? Yeah, possibly. Of course, that's a factor. But you still have this tremendous hysteria. Here is probably, and I can't believe that I'm putting Newt Gingrich out there as a paragon of common sense. But here is Newt talking on Fox and Friends. This is yesterday, and this is probably one of the more reasonable political statements that I have heard on this issue to date.
This is ultimately about the people of Alabama. They're looking at the evidence. They're listening to the arguments. They're going to make a decision. That's how our system is supposed to work. The people of Alabama get to pick who they want to have as the U.S. senator. Mm-hmm. And the rest of us ought to be a little bit patient and let this play out for a while and see what happens. But I think all the Washington folks who are in a moment of, frankly, almost hysteria, just calm down. This is a serious issue. I certainly think that Judge Moore is going to have to convince the people of Alabama that he's right and these other people are wrong. Conversely, I think if the evidence mounts up, he'll get defeated. But that's really up to the people of Alabama. It's not up to a bunch of politicians in Washington.
And that's right. The problem is that the politicians in Washington, they're all stakeholders in this. They all have their personal turf that they're protecting. For McConnell and for the Senate Republicans and the GOP, I'd say the GOP establishment in general, they hate this guy. They don't want to let Roy Moore in the club. Number one, they don't want Roy Moore in the club. This to them is a tremendous opportunity. That's that because it's a non-starter to argue with me. Well, even the Republicans are ditching this guy. Yeah, even the Republicans. Of course they are. They were the first to ditch him. You kidding me? This was manna from heaven. So they ditched him because they didn't want him there. And the opportunity for them to perhaps rally, to have him drop out, and then to be able to rally behind an establishment good old boy candidate who, you know, might stand a chance as a writing candidate, that to the Republican majority, that to the establishment Republican political class, was very, very compelling and remains compelling. And they're getting nervous because the closer this gets, they don't want any part of it. I actually wouldn't be surprised if I mean, Mitch McConnell, if he could, he would be throwing, you know, fire on, you know, wood on the fire here, fuel on the fire. It's just he definitely wants this to continue. Now, on the other side of this, you have a lot of conservatives out there, and this I mean kind of the chatterati, the people who are out there blabbing about this. There's conservatives who are really fearful of what a Democratic majority would look like in the Senate. So just a couple more dominoes fall, and it's done. And Alabama, like I said, was supposed to be a sure thing. So they're jumping all over this and getting hysterical. Was it Sean Hannity, I think, on Fox last night, said Moore has 24 hours to prove his innocence, prove that these allegations are false. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, and I like Sean. I'm going, like, okay, you've got 24 hours. Are you for real? Like, how would you do that? Picture in your, just think about this for a minute. I always try to put myself in the other person's shoes. So imagine this. Imagine that you, I don't know, asked out a couple of 18-year-old girls. By the way, those are two new accusations today. Two girls, they were 18, they were seniors in high school, he was 30. It's creepy, not illegal. Okay? And now you have some other people coming forward, and all of a sudden, what was a flirtation is being turned into a sexual assault. What was a hello is being turned into groping. I'm just saying, can you imagine what you would feel like if suddenly your whole world is turned upside down by 8 people, 10 people out of the thousands upon thousands of people that you've interacted with in the course of your life? Stunning. I mean, and you would be reeling, even if you were a sophisticated and intelligent person, which not every person running for Senate in Alabama is. So there it is. There you have it. I don't know what I would do. So at any rate, this is what I'm talking about. You've got a lot of hysterical conservatives out there who just go, we can't lose this. We can't lose this election. We can't do this. We can't lose. We can't. And in the process are throwing, you know, kind of good judgment out the window. All right. I'm going to play a little bit of this press conference. This is very interesting stuff. This is Philip Geragy, something like that. He's an attorney for the campaign, comes out swinging. But this is interesting to me, too. It's very suspicious. He's only talking about Miss Nelson. And this is the lady who came forward on Monday with the assistance of Gloria Allred. Listen to what the campaign has to say about this.
During the press conference that Ms. Nelson and Gloria Allred had on Monday, they both said that Ms. Nelson, after the allegations, had never seen nor had any contact with Judge Moore. As it turns out, in 1999, Ms. Nelson filed a divorce action against her then-husband. Guess who that case was before? The judge assigned was Roy S. Moore, Circuit Judge of Etowah County. Right now, Trent Garman, our attorney, has sent a letter, or is sending a letter, to Gloria Allred demanding that the yearbook be released. After Judge Moore's signature, it has the initials capital D period, A period. Judge Moore looked at that DA after his signature, which they allege was because he was the district attorney. Well, he wasn't. He was the assistant district attorney. But Judge Moore says he can't ever remember ever signing his name with DA after it, but he had seen it before. When he was on the bench, his assistant, whose initials are capital D period, A period, Delbra Adams, would stamp his signature on documents and then put capital D period, A period. That's exactly how the signature appears on the divorce decree that Judge Moore signed, dismissing the divorce action with Ms. Nelson.
Interesting stuff. Now, by the way, I don't know if you've ever, you know, I've never been divorced, at least not yet. But I will. Okay, those are very difficult deals, especially when they're kids. I'm immediately, I'll tell you this, I'm immediately suspicious when someone levies an accusation against a former judge talking about something that happened 40 years ago and then doesn't mention that, you know, 10 or 20 years later, they were presiding over their child custody case. Maybe it didn't go her way. Maybe she doesn't like this guy. Disclose that. You know, that didn't come up. Very, very suspicious to me. But it doesn't mean, by the way, this doesn't mean that the other accusers are lying. All right, don't go anywhere. More on this when we come back. Pun unintended. More. Get it? Okay. Sam Rachofsky, back after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Also, have to tell you this, Sam Rachofsky here, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. This whole business of Roy Moore getting banned from the mall, have you heard about this? That apparently he was so prolific in his solicitation of minors at the local mall in Gadsden, Alabama, that he was banned from the mall. Now, first of all, it reminds me of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? When George Clooney gets kicked out of the Woolworth and then has to think about whether if he's been banned from just that Woolworth or all the Woolworths. I don't know if you remember that part in the movie. Yeah, I just expect Delmer to show up and was that all the Woolworths or just that? Anyway. All right. But just step back from this for a minute. I realized this was a long time ago that this was in the 70s, that the world was a little bit different then. Namely, Carter was president and life sucked. But aside from all that, you got a young district attorney who's picking up on 14, 15, 16-year-old girls at the local mall noticed enough to get banned. And he continues on to have a career as not only a judge, but all the way up to the chief judge of the state Supreme Court. I don't know. I don't know if all of this is so anecdotal. The other part of testifying in all of this, all these people that are coming up through the woodwork and saying, oh, yeah, I remember him. He was creepy. This is kind of like when you deal with any type of an event that happens and you go around, you ask all the witnesses and every witness has something else, has a different view. No, the car was yellow. No. The car was red. It was a station wagon. Are you kidding? It was a sedan. I mean, and then one person comes in and says, no, the car was a red sports car. And if they do a certain amount of authority, all of a sudden everybody around goes, yeah, it was a red sports car. I remember that. I remember the red sports car. Very common. It's why the first thing you do when you're investigating an accident, you separate everybody. Hey, you go over there, you go over here. I don't want you hearing what the other person is saying when they're telling me and recounting the event. I want to keep everybody's narrative separate. And as soon as this hits the press, I think a lot of people coming forward are, you know, along for the ride. That's one thing. Now, I want to explain a little bit of this press conference. This press conference where Philip Garrigue, the attorney for the campaign, talks about the DA signature. Now, do you remember this? This is the only piece of real hard evidence. The only piece of hard evidence. Okay, it's terrible. I didn't mean it that way. The only evidence here, physical evidence, is that yearbook that Roy Moore signed. For the girl, which is super creepy. Agreed? What is it? I had it up here for a second ago. But here it goes. To a beautiful girl, none more beautiful. Merry Christmas, 1977, love. Okay, Roy Moore. And now, interesting thing here. They're talking about the part about the DA signature. I don't know if you caught that last segment, but he's saying Judge Moore looked at that DA after a signature. He can't remember ever signing his name with the DA after it. But he'd seen it before when he was on the bench. His assistant, whose initials are DA, Deborah Adams, would stamp his signature on documents and then put DA. This is very common in court. Judges, believe it or not, don't sign everything. So they have a clerk. It's a very powerful person. You always want to be nice to the clerk. If you ever go to court, that is your main person that takes care of you when you're a lawyer. Trust me. But that clerk will do their own initials after the stamp, or will actually write the judge's name and then do the initials. You know, the funniest thing, or the most interesting thing, more suspicious thing, is that's exactly how Judge Moore's signature appeared on the divorce decree, the dismissal of this accuser's, this gal with the yearbook. She had a divorce case in front of this guy, and it gets dismissed, signed exactly that way. Roy Moore, DA. I don't know. Maybe she had a... I'm just saying, very suspicious. But again, does not mean the other accusers are wrong. All right, when we come back, Uber. I want to talk about this. The worst things that happen in Ubers. Don't miss this. All right, we got the news up next with John Wolf, and back after that.
Catch the Kings all season long on 790 KABC, KABC.com, and on the free KABC mobile app.
Sam Rujofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. The phone number, 800-222-5222, if you'd like to be on the program, sam@samnation.com. Wednesday, middle of the week. Well, I'll tell you, I want to talk about this district attorney who, not Roy Moore, the gal who got in trouble on an Uber ride. If you haven't heard about this, I'll talk about it a little as we get through the hour here. But just to talk about Moore and Alabama, put a finer note on it. It's just a mess. It's a total mess. And the thing that I think is, I was going to play. The interesting thing is what people are saying in the media, and it's enraging to me because it's so simplistic. And nobody recognizes the fact that people do lie and then people do tell the truth. We live in this is a post-Bill Clinton era. And what do I mean by this? All of this is so absurd when you consider that allegations far more severe than are raised here were raised about Bill Clinton, and he got elected president. And everybody just, you know, poo-pooed it and said, hey, that's no problem, it's no big deal. I mean, and then when he was president, allegations of serious impropriety. And again, everybody dismissed it. There's still pictures, you can look them up, of Democrats rejoicing when Bill Clinton was acquitted in his impeachment trial. Entire Democratic caucus stood behind him and cheered. They had a giant, you know, photo op press conference on the White House lawn out there. Sick stuff. And this world and this backdrop, I think a lot of these guys are just surprised all of a sudden, like people like Weinstein. They're surprised all of a sudden that they can't get away with it. They've been getting away with it all these years because, you know what? Bill Clinton got away with it. He got away with it scot-free. Paid no political consequences. I think he lost his law license for a year. Big whoop. And when you're an ex-president and, you know, raking in the billions from shady deals left and right in the Clinton Crime Family Foundation, you lose your law license in where? In Arkansas? Whew. That's a stiff price to pay. So I think, you know, I mean, Republicans are always, conservatives always held a different standard. And when I look back at, for me, a coming of age moment was watching the hearings that took place, the confirmation hearings for Clarence Thomas. And when Justice Thomas was being just destroyed by the Senate Judiciary Committee, by the same committee that would be investigating Roy Moore here, destroyed him. And when you look back at all of that, I mean, Anita Hill may very well have been, probably was, and is a total liar. Maybe, at best, an exaggerator. But this is how it works. And if you run for office, you better be squeaky clean. And I'll also say, I think, too, the political, one of the political things that's happening here kind of behind the scenes is, what did they want to do to Trump? When Trump was, when it was the closing stages of the campaign, Trump-Russia began to get set up. It was, I mean, and some of these meetings, we even know that there were Democrats that had these meetings and introduced, you know, Trumpists to certain people. I mean, it was a setup from the get-go. Because the plan was that there would be a political process and a criminal process, hopefully, fingers crossed, that would delegitimize, destabilize, and ultimately, hopefully, depose the Trump presidency if the unspeakable happened. And that's part of what Democrats are hoping for here. That even if this Roy Moore guy gets in, we still have a chance. We could still get rid of him. All right. We'll follow this thing closely. I doubt he'll drop out. I really do. I think he's going to stick to his guns. But you never know what will come out. And that's the thing. There could be some smoking gun here that really does sink him. All right. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Don't go anywhere. Back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Attorney Sweet James Bergner, this is the name you need to know in case you get into an accident, have an injury of any kind, and you need a good lawyer. No, not if, you do need a good lawyer. It's the number one mistake people make. They don't get the right lawyer. They don't get a lawyer. They try to do it on their own. So don't be that guy. Don't be a do-it-yourselfer. Call Sweet James. Attorney Sweet James Bergner, my friend, my lawyer, the person I trust, if I'm in trouble. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Doesn't cost you a dime out of your pocket until he settles your case. No recovery, no fee, all that stuff. Every consultation is free, really easy. 800-881-2021 or visit sweetjames.com. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, here on Talk Radio 790 KBC, live from coming to you from an undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. All right. Uber. Who uses Uber? It seems like every once in a while there is some epic meltdown that occurs. And of course, a lot of these Uber drivers, they have cameras that face the compartment for their protection. Because you never know what the person's going to allege. This is what's going to happen. We're going to end up carrying body cameras everywhere that we go because we're going to, you know, fear that somebody's going to make an allegation against us. So Uber drivers, a lot of these cars you'll see right under the mirror, there's a little device there. And it's a camera. You're on candid camera. By the way, they're allowed to do that. Okay? Perfectly permissible. You have no expectation of privacy sitting in somebody else's car. Now, what is interesting is we get these, right, we get these periodic, very entertaining meltdowns. Oh, I've got some of the audio. You want to hear the audio? Okay. This is an assistant district attorney out in Dallas, former assistant district attorney, because her name's Jody Warner, and she got fired on Monday. This incident happened on Friday, but I have some observations about this. The driver's name is Sean Platt. And he knows everything's being recorded, and so he's playing it cool. Listen to a portion of the exchange.
Ma'am, I ended the ride, and I asked you politely to step out of my vehicle.
No, you ended the ride, not at my house. You think I'm going to get out on a side street? The no.
Ma'am, please.
Ma'am, exit. Shut the up. We'll wait for the cops then, if that's what you think is appropriate. You don't just end a ride. Oh my God, you're an idiot. You are a legitimate retard. I want to go home so badly, but you're so stupid, I want the cops to come. so that they can f*** you up.
Ma'am, please.
No, ma'am, please. Dude, you're all... Everything's being recorded. I'm an assistant district attorney, so shut the f*** up.
All right. There you have it. Now, I have an observation about these incidents, because I don't know if you remember this, but there was a few months ago, there was that one ER doctor, again, a younger lady who went bananas and started, you know, throwing things out of the Uber driver's car, and the guy was frantic. Anyway, she ended up getting arrested and then lost her job. But I have an observation about Uber, because I am convinced... I have a suspicion about this. I think that when people go out and take an Uber, that's code for I'm going to get really, really, really drunk tonight. I want to use another expression, but I'm not going to, because this is a family program. Hear me out on this. It used to be that there was either you were a rich liberal and had a limousine, or no. I mean, you took a cab, and most people don't like taking cabs, right? So, you know, people would go out socially and have one drink, stay under the limit. I'm not advocating for drinking and driving, but would have one drink, stay below the limit. Hang around for a few hours and go home. But now with this, I think, explosion of rideshare companies like Uber and Lyft, when people go out, they get drunk, and there's people that don't normally go out and drink heavily. So then where do they do berserk and crazy things? Right in the Uber that they get into to go home, on candid camera, of all things. It got really funny, though. I have to share this with you. At the end of the ride, she starts talking. She's a lawyer, right? She's a district attorney. She's a prosecutor. She starts giving some legal opinions. You don't want to miss this. I'll play it for you when we get back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Your source for breaking news, live and local, KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Now, I use Uber. I think it's super helpful. And of course, you should use a ride-sharing program if you've been out there drinking. Absolutely. But what I think is, when people, I recognize this, I see this socially. When people show up and they say, we're going out on the town, I'm taking an Uber. And that is synonymous with we are getting plastered. And it's interesting. And it's so anyway, we're talking about this district attorney out in Dallas. She ended up getting fired after what happened in an Uber ride on Friday night. She gets fired on Monday. Played a clip of her yelling at the driver. What did she call him? She called him a retard instead of a retard. That'll fire her for that. Anyway, here's the second part of it. Now, this is hilarious. She's claiming that he's kidnapping her. This is coming from a lawyer. I realize she's drunk, but listen to this.
I think this might be kidnapping right now, actually.
It's not kidnapping, man.
No,
you're free
it is,
to leave.
Because there was an Uber, I'm pretty sure, at a destination, and you have not taken me to that destination. You're holding me here. So why don't you take me to that destination?
Ma'am, please leave my vehicle.
So you're kidnapping me.
I'm not kidnapping you.
Do you know where you know when you picked me up, I gave you a destination, you're not taking me there, so under the law, it's recklessly keeping me from where I was going, and you haven't done that, so you're kidnapping me right now. You're committing a first-degree felony.
You know, right, so ridiculous. Kidnapping, you gotta take somebody, you gotta hold them against their will, you gotta transport them. And in some states, depending on the statute, you it's enough to just confine somebody. All right. Hilarious. But what of it? Well, listen, I'm telling you, never before have we lived in a society like we do now. Your entire life can fall apart in an instant. just like SnapFast. And you know why? It's all this technology. You know, and I'm not talking about Uber as a technology. I'm talking about, you know, video recording and audio recording and these smartphones that you know, that capture every move. And the fact of the matter is that we are also in this world that's very hypersensitive right now. We don't want organizations, governments, companies don't want any embarrassment. So they're not likely to stick with you like they would, you know, 30 years ago. And what I think a lot of young people don't realize is, you know, you're one screw up away from, on your own time, after hours, outside of your job, from really killing your career. The advice I have to young people is you're never really off the clock. You never get to be just you, and there's no work you and then private you. You're going to be on somebody's social media. Somebody's going to take a video of you. Somebody's going to take a photo of you. Somebody somewhere is going to record you. And if you're doing something epically stupid, and if you're being an a-hole and a jerk and a bad person, you're going to suffer some consequences. In the world, I think even the world that I grew up in my teens and 20s, it wasn't like this. Certainly not my parents. So this is, it's serious stuff. All right. I think Jeff Sessions is one of Trump's biggest mistakes. I'm going to talk to you about that. Also, Cards Against Humanity has bought a portion of the border. This is hilarious. Don't go anywhere. Back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Hi, Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 8 o'clock hour is here. And if you'd like to be on the program, 800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com. So, did you catch this in all of the news that has been swirling around? Oh, yesterday, Sessions was back on Capitol Hill testifying. This is Jeff Sessions. This is the man that used to be a senator, the GOP senator, other GOP senator from Alabama, whose vacant seat now is causing the Republican Party so much heartache and turmoil. So he goes to Capitol Hill, and he's right before he goes before and testifies before the House, he writes a letter. And in this letter, he says, hey, I think that maybe, you know, we have reason to appoint a special prosecutor to look into, one, the FBI's investigation into the Clinton Family Foundation, and two, look into some corruption involving the Uranium One deal. We've talked about both of these things. And of course, Republicans got really giddy and really excited. This is the talk of the town yesterday. Aha! There's going to be a special counsel. Yes, he's finally going to do it. Now, I have an observation about this right from the get-go. The minute it came up, and we were off the air last night, so I couldn't give this to you in real time. But as soon as it happened, my immediate reaction was, why special counsel? He's the attorney general. He is the top cop in the country. That's technically what the attorney general is. He's the chief law enforcement officer in the country. The FBI director reports to him. He's acting like he's, you know, this is the United Nations in Switzerland. They're mediating two sides of a... He's not a mediator. He's a prosecutor. He used to be a prosecutor, but he's got no balls. This is absolutely shocking. The hiring a special prosecutor. It's what kind of job do you do? Right? Whatever it is. At some point, you got to do it, right? Let's say your job is, I don't know, let's say you're a hero in my life. I'm going to name you. You're a hero in my life. You work at In-N-Out. I'm telling you, if you work at In-N-Out, you're my hero because I love In-N-Out. So you're at In-N-Out, you're making In-N-Out burger, you're my hero, but you can't be like making the burger and then just, you know, middle of the burger, just say, you know, I really need to bring in this outside burger guy from Wendy's to do this for me. That's Bob Mueller is the burger guy from Wendy's. That's what he is. And the reason that Sessions purportedly brought in the Wendy's guy is because, well, you know, I don't want any conflict of interest. So that was my first reaction when I heard all this. So he goes to Capitol Hill, he starts to testify, and it is horrible. It's blabbering. He doesn't answer anything. He's not direct. He is literally spineless. The only good thing about Jeff Sessions is he's tough on immigration. He's a hardliner on that. But this, you know, according to Michael Goodwin, writing for the New York Post, there's a great piece. Jeff Sessions continues to prove he's Trump's biggest mistake. And Goodwin is 100% right on this. All of Trump's big predicaments stem from Sessions' screw-ups from day one. You know when it started? It didn't start with the recusal. It started with Sessions' confirmation hearing. When Sessions was getting, I don't know if you remember this. We're gonna rewind a little bit here, give you a bit of history. Do you remember? Was it Al Franken? Yeah, the comedian. The unfunny comedian senator from Minnesota. So Franken gets up there and says, you know, and they're grilling Sessions, and he looks just, I mean, he just looks so defeated. He was defeated before it even got started. And he was sitting there. Now, do you promise to recuse yourself? If there's any whatsoever connection between you, if you've had any contact with Russians, yes, I do. I'll recuse myself. Yeah. I mean, that was the setup. Right there, in that moment, Sessions compromised himself. Because when he went on the record to promise that he would recuse himself, he was stuck. He literally was stuck. Because it was part of his confirmation hearing. And he promised you, and every good lawyer knows how to weasel out of something like that. He should have given an answer. I don't know. You want a good example of a confirmation hearing? Justice Alito, that was a great confirmation hearing. You never give you always say it depends. You learn this in the first year of law school. What's the answer to a question? It depends. What does it depend on? God only knows. But you answer it that way because you're covering yourself. Or you'll say something along the lines of, yes, I agree to recuse myself if, and then you give a different fact pattern that's very open-ended. I will recuse myself if it turns out it's a Russian smoking a long pipe, wearing a tall hat, and walking in the park. I mean, something like that. This thing was messed up from the beginning. So Jeff Sessions then forced to recuse himself when it's found out he had one meeting with a Russian ambassador who, by the way, meets with everybody in Washington, D.C. Very common practice. Immediately recuses himself. And who's there as the number two guy in the Justice Department? A Democrat, Rod Rosenstein. And he immediately calls his pal Mueller, and this thing was in the bag from the start. And if you know more about this in the background, remember this was all kind of set up by Comey, who leaked some of this stuff out through a buddy of his. And do you remember why he said that he leaked stuff? Do you remember in testimony? He said, I leaked, this is Comey, I leaked because I was hoping it would lead to the appointment of a special prosecutor. This whole thing now, Goodwin writes, this is great. When I talk about this whole thing, he's like, this entire charade, this pretense of Trump Russia and the investigation into it has treated the Trump presidency as a piñata on a short-term lease. Exactly. This has been absolutely crippling to Trump. Now, Trump's forging on ahead and trying to ignore it as best as he can, but no doubt this is an enormous drag coefficient, an unnecessary, totally unnecessary drag coefficient on his time in office. So this ties into the Moore drama in Alabama, of course, because there's this conventional wisdom in Washington. Aha, if Sessions is really terrible, and, you know, maybe he is, and if Sessions, you know, is on the outs with Trump, which maybe he is, and what better thing than for us to maybe, we got a problem with Roy Moore, got to get him out of the race. What if we just put Sessions back in his old seat? The problem with that is it's stupid. It presupposes a number of different things. Number one, you can't just put him on the ballot. There is no ballot. You only can write in a candidate at this point, and that's very difficult to do. So how do you get rid of Sessions, who is one of Trump's biggest mistakes so far as president, putting Sessions in. This has led to all of his problems. So they're talking about putting him in for Roy. You can't do it. You can't just replace Roy Moore at this point. If Roy Moore drops out, there's a write-in campaign. I don't know how effective it will be. But it also presupposes that Sessions would quit or get fired. I don't think that Sessions wants to quit. I think he loves the job. I think Trump probably early on wanted him to quit, was so furious with him and was berating him in public, hoping the guy would quit. And Sessions took it. He just let himself be a whipping boy and took it, which tells me the way I read that is that I think he really wants to stay in this job. It's a very prestigious job. And by the way, if you're an attorney, which Sessions has been for a long time, and you're, especially if you've got a career as a prosecutor and then you go into, you know, you're an elected official, becoming attorney general is a very prestigious gig. I think the only thing more elevated perhaps is a federal judgeship or Supreme Court nomination. So this is a very prestigious job and not one that I think he's going to leave from. But he's got to get some spine to him. Because what happened leading up to the last four, maybe six, even 8 years under Obama? Overt criminal acts. I don't care how you slice it. It stinks. The Uranium One deal stinks. Enormous transfer of money. Enormous. $131 million. And then presto. The State Department, controlled by one Hillary Clinton, all of a sudden approves this enormous transfer of uranium from one company to another company, and it ends up in the hands of the people that originally funded this enormous charitable gift. It stinks. Now, I don't know if the intent is criminal. I don't know any of that, but it needs to be investigated. There is there's probable cause to investigate this. And then when you look at Comey's refusal to investigate, that's a separate issue. You have are the head of the FBI and at the time, the Attorney General Loretta Lynch in cahoots to let the Clintons off. It's a problem. And it needs to be looked into. If the facts were reversed, this is, friends, always reverse the facts. Replace, very simple. It's like a little parlor trick. Replace the big R with the big D. Just swap them. Because if all of the Clinton and Obama shenanigans had happened, and they were Republicans, and today, a Democrat were sitting there, that attorney general would be going after this lickety-split. They would be fighting this. They would be going after this. They would be pursuing these charges with a mighty fervor. And the fact that Sessions isn't, he is so pedantically concerned with doing the right thing and being above it and being so moral and elevated. And I've mentioned this before. I've seen this before. You get lawyers who are so obsessed about every little rule that they overthink it, and then they become crippled. They're not able to think pragmatically beyond the rule book. Oh, it's very inside baseball, but as it applies to Sessions here, he is a guy who it was with this insistence that he stay above and out of any kind of taint of collusion or of any kind of conflict of interest, has basically recused himself out of making any tough decisions. And being an executive, which is what you are, the head of an agency, you have to make tough decisions. And he's going to Capitol Hill. He's pissing off the Republicans. He's pissing off the Democrats. And while they say that that's a good thing, and, you know, if you're getting both sides angry, maybe you're doing something right. I don't think it applies here. This is going back to the Goodman piece that I was talking about in the New York Post. If you're spot on, I don't think it applies here. I think you've got a guy who genuinely needs to. I don't know what Trump needs to. This is an important swap. I don't think there's been a. He's starting to make Janet Reno look good. Okay. Do you play Cards Against Humanity? Do you know this this game? Cards Against Humanity, a party game for horrible people. This is the game where you draw a card, and then you do this. There's a topic. Everybody, you choose a topic, and then you have a verb, and you've got adjectives and adverbs, and you put together really offensive pairings. Like, and the person who will make the most offensive statement wins the game. That's why they call it a party game for horrible people. This is what people do when they're getting together, and it's a fun game. I have played it. Well, the company is making an enormous political statement. And the interesting thing to me here is, it's first of all, it's a political statement and evaluating that. And I don't know. I understand this is a party game for horrible people, and obviously horrible people don't like Trump, so I get that. But maybe, just maybe, it's interesting how all these companies are just willing to throw in against Trump. And how much market share are they losing? This is fascinating to me. They're willing to throw away market share. They're willing to piss off Trump supporters. Bad marketing, I think, but maybe I'm missing something. I'll talk about it when we get back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Hey, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Cards Against Humanity is a game that people play usually while drinking. Not always, but can be fun. You put together offensive phrases, and the person with the most offensive phrase wins, which is why they call it a game for horrible people. Now, I've played it. I'm not a I don't know. Stop it. I don't. Well, not like the most horrible person. So anyway, this game, the company behind it has bought a portion of the border. And it has purchased it with the express purpose of preventing Donald Trump from building his horribly offensive racist wall. Let me give you, I'll read to you exactly what it says. Okay. Here's what it says. This is what they said on their website. Donald Trump is a preposterous golem who's afraid of Mexicans. That's how it starts out. He is so afraid that he wants to build a $20 billion wall that everyone knows will accomplish nothing. So we've purchased a plot of vacant land on the border and retained a law firm specializing in eminent domain to make it as time-consuming and expensive as possible for the wall to get built. And you actually, if you think this is a great idea, you can send them $15 and you become a part of this and you get updates and some kind of special gift. You know what the funniest thing about this is? to me, before we get into the marketing aspect of it, the funniest part of it is I, as a libertarian, am horrified how far the courts have taken eminent domain. The government can take your property for far less legitimate purposes than building a border wall. There are cases where the government took private property to build a for-profit shopping center. Literally, took people's houses to build a shopping center. And the idea was that that shopping center was going to produce tax revenue and create urban renewal. You've probably heard those words, urban renewal. And that it was a good idea for the state to pair up with this very rich, big developer and come in and take grandma's house and Uncle Freddy's house and so forth and so on to build a shopping mall. Supreme Court said, no problem. Two thumbs up. So they're lying to you. If you're a liberal and you think that this Cards Against Humanity business is awesome and that they're really going to stick it to Trump, eminent domain, Trump's going to take the land and pay you some money and call it good. And the courts won't be able to do anything about it. And the funniest thing about it is it's all the liberals that you've put on the court have done this. Yes, all those, you know, all those left-wing justices that are fighting to abort as many babies as possible, they're also voting for the government taking your property, which in this case is going to make you hoist by your own petard. But on another point, this is such crap marketing. If I have a game, I have a product. Now, my product here, okay, is I'm a conservative talk show host, so that's my product. My job is to give my opinion, and I don't hide it. But if I'm an actor, if I have a car company, if I make clothes, whatever it is, I would want to be apolitical. If I'm producing a game, I want it to be a funny game for all horrible people, not just for horrible people who are Democrats and hate Trump. I want to get some deplorables. You're right. Exactly. Give me some deplorables. I want deplorables to buy my game. That's called business. It's called making money. It brings up a great point. The producer, Robbie, since I'll tell you this, you guys don't know this, he's a huge Taylor Swift fan. Yeah, TS or Die, you have that tattoo? I'm joking. He's not a Taylor Swift fan. But I, you know, Taylor Swift, do you remember this during the election? How in 2016... big social media presence, everything. She wouldn't say who she was voting for. On election day, she said, she tweeted and put on Instagram, get out and vote. And the left excoriated her for it. Lena Dunham was, you know, all over her case for not, you know, not taking a stand. Stand for something, Taylor. But she's a smart marketer. You know, for her, it's about selling albums, getting people to buy her stuff. That's why she's rich. That's why she's successful. God knows it's not her singing. Okay. Oh, I've offended everybody now. Okay. All right. We got John Wolfe up next with the news. Back right after this.
Your one stop for breaking news and adult fun. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KBC 836. We're plowing through this. Buckle up. The phone number. This is the Lifeline phone number if you need resuscitation after one of my comments. 800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is my email. Aha. Tomorrow, as early as tomorrow, the House will be voting on tax reform. Now, the Senate's big contribution to this so far has been to kill the Obamacare mandate, which is very popular because everybody wants free health care. Nobody wants to pay for it. So it's actually popular even with Democrats. Look, this, we'll see how this thing goes, right? So first it hits the House. The House will vote on it, goes up to the Senate. Then the Senate comes up with its version. Then it goes into a committee. This process is called reconciliation. Then ultimately both houses vote on it again. So we're a ways away. But I don't want you to worry. the Democrats in the House are hard at work on this. No, they are. I have a this is Al Green, Democrat from Texas. This is what the Democrats are up to right now.
Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution of the United States of America was drafted for a time such as this and a president such as Trump. People need to understand that the Judiciary Committee really is a place where impeachment can originate. It can also originate with any one of the 435 members of Congress. I believe that those who will look back through the vista of time at this time will conclude that there were some people who refused to allow a president to continue to bring shame, to continue to dishonor the office. And because they refused, they took appropriate action.
Yeah, this is exactly what middle class America is worried about, you idiots. They want lower taxes, and you guys are drafting articles of impeachment. I can't make this stuff up. So for every news story that you hear about the Republican Party imploding, they're all going to hell in a handbasket. The Democrats, okay, the Republicans do not have a corner on the market of stupid. Yeah. Oh, this is my favorite here. I believe that those who look back through the vista of time at this time will conclude that there were some people who refused to allow a president to continue to bring shame, to dishonor the office. This is, Al Green. Yeah, this is Al Green, the Democrat from Texas, impeachment presser that he gave today. I'm loving this. Do you know what's funny to me about this, too, is the timing of it. It's tone deaf, right? This is, look, Trump had a really good 10 days on this trip in Asia, objectively speaking. And I've told you, I know that because the criticisms of it have been very nitpicky, have been very small. So Trump comes back from a trip to Asia that by all accounts went reasonably well, if not excellent. He also immediately is able to free those idiot UCLA basketball players that got arrested for shoplifting in China. I don't know, Otto Warmbier, who stole one little sign at the airport, put it in his backpack, ended up dead. The Marine that accidentally drove into Mexico with a rifle. He was in prison in Mexico for years under Obama. The stories go on. Whenever people are captured abroad, they're used as political pawns, especially with countries that want something from us. The fact that he got released right away tells me Trump's did well. They respect him. They fear him. They don't want a confrontation with Trump. All this is good. On top of that, Trump comes back from this trip. And what's happening in Congress? Tax reform, which is one of his signature deals, and it's moving forward and things are happening on it. And these clowns are bringing forward articles of impeachment? Dumb. So dumb. Okay, don't go anywhere. More brilliant stuff from me after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
If you or a loved one have been hurt in a car accident, motorcycle accident, bus accident, tractor accident, elephant ride accident, whatever type of accident you've been in, hire the right lawyer. Attorney Sweet James Bergner, my friend, my lawyer, him and his team, they are the ones to have in your corner. Don't go at it alone. Don't try to do your case by yourself, you know, calling the insurance company and haggling with them. It doesn't work. Call James or anybody there at his office. They're all great people, and they'll help you. They'll help you guide you through it and make sure that you come out on the other end, you know, with a good outcome. And that's what this is about. A fair, proper, good outcome, which you're not guaranteed if you're going at it all alone. Phone number, easy. Keep this in your hip pocket. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit James' website, sweetjames.com. $7.90 Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Oh, speaking of news in Asia, I was mentioning that Trump had a successful trip abroad. He did. Very few concerns. They made fun of how he shook hands, and they made fun of him feeding the koi by just dumping the bowl of food or the bag of food out in the pond in Japan. They didn't show the video of Shinzo Abe right a few minutes before doing the same thing. Anyway, typical reporter nonsense. He did very well and came back, I think, to success underway. But an interesting bit of news out of North Korea. Something happened. And I love these stories. A North Korean soldier defected at the DMZ. Now, do you know about the DMZ? You're familiar with this? It's the border between North Korea and South Korea. It's the product of the armistice that ended, didn't really technically end, but stopped hostilities at the time, at the conclusion of fighting in the Korean War. The ceasefire. And there's a place there where there's a little village where the soldiers on both sides stand facing each other. Now, the best thing about this is that North Korea puts like its tallest and most well-fed soldiers there, so they look mean and tough. You know, people back home are starving. They're catching rats in sewers and grilling them up, and that's a real delicacy. So apparently, a soldier basically got into a Jeep, drove, and made it to South Korea. But as he's running across the border, he ends up getting shot at by his own, like members of his own unit. That's how obsessed this country is with keeping people in. It's a prison. I think you and I, we can't even comprehend this. I always love these escape stories. This is particularly fascinating. You need to know this. The soldiers that are there along the border who theoretically could walk into South Korea and get asylum, they're vetted like nobody's business. These are people that come from prominent families, but they come from generational Communist Party membership. Their parents more than likely are high-ranking officials. So this will have, in my opinion, from what I know about North Korea, some pretty significant impact for this guy's family. So I don't know if you know this, but in North Korea, when someone commits a crime against the regime, they're punished. There's a generational punishment. The family is punished. So they all get sent to concentration camps. The parents, the siblings, grandparents even. So when somebody like this defects and leaves the country, they do so knowing full well that if they've got family living back home, that family gets basically sent to die. It's a really heavy thought when you consider it. But it might be somebody high ranking, given that this was a soldier that was stationed there in the DMZ near the Armistice Village. So we'll see what fallout comes from this. It's a very, very rare event, and it's significant because these are the people that can tell us, right? The minute that they end up... Oh, he's in recovery, by the way, if you're wondering. He got shot 5 times. It looks like he may make it. But this is real intelligence that will come. Presumably, he'll talk. Because after your own countrymen shoot you in the back 5 times, I don't think you're really... the code of silence at that point has been lifted, right? Yeah, no omerta anymore. All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
We are all kings.
Home to kings, baby!
790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Facebook did not consult with me as their attorney when they came out with this absolutely bizarro idea. There's a problem, and it's called revenge porn. I don't know if you know what this is. This is when you take photos of yourself, maybe, you know, a little bit in, you know, some skin showing. A lot of skin. Or you take a video, maybe you make a sex tape with your partner, and then you guys split up. And your partner suddenly posts it up somewhere, like on Facebook. So Facebook wants to solve this problem. And by the way, the trend in technology, there are just not enough human beings to monitor what's going on in the internet. The only place where they have enough human beings to do that is China, because they got 1 billion people in the country. And that's, by the way, how the Chinese censorship works. It's very effective because they actually have thousands and thousands of people sitting at terminals and doing that kind of thing. Facebook doesn't do that. So the way they have to do it is they have to use artificial intelligence, AI, and build in algorithms to figure out how to detect nudity, skin, which is why sometimes, you know, they'll ban a picture of your Aunt Mildred that you put up on Facebook because they think they're looking at something that they're not. So Facebook's idea, what's their idea? Their idea is that you send them a naked picture of yourself. And then if that similar picture ever shows up on the internet, it'll automatically get blocked. Now, guys, I'm not even going to ask you, but ladies, would you ever, ever, ever do that? Look, I got a tip for you. I guess it's a sexy thing to do, to send pictures of yourself or to exchange. Don't do it. I don't know what the actual statistic is, but I'm just going to tell you what my made-up statistic is. 99.999% of relationships ultimately fail. And you're not always lucky enough for them to end in death. So when you break up with your partner, and that partner's alive, and mad at you, and in possession of compromising material, be it whatever, not good. The way you stop that from happening is not allowing it. Don't take naked pictures of yourself. It's simple. This is not just Anthony Weiner. You know those actresses? Like Scarlett Johansson, she got hacked. Jennifer Lawrence, right? J-Law. Same thing happened to her. Her phone got hacked. All of a sudden, there's naked pictures. I'm looking at this. I'm like, what are you idiots? You guys are... Well, of course, they're actresses, so they're dumber than a bag of hammers. But anyway, they're taking naked pictures and they're putting them on their phones, and then surprised when these pictures get compromised. Think, people, think. Just a few steps ahead, you know. And as the minute that there's something digital, it can be hacked, it can be stolen, and it can be spread like wildfire. Okay. We are off tomorrow night, Go Kings Go, and then back Friday night at 7. You'll want to be here. I'm sure we're going to have a great show. I know we're going to have a great show. How about that? How's that? Is that better? Okay. Well, have a good night. It was great to be with you, as always. My funnest part of my day. See you tomorrow. No, Friday. People.